Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. My name's Brian Coppinger. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to worship at Redeemer, to everyone here in the sanctuary, and to those joining us online, and to those who might be visiting us this morning. It's our pleasure and blessing to have you with us. Hey, did you get that nice rain this morning? Yeah, boy, wasn't that just really nice and unexpected. I got quite a bit at the house this morning, and it came on Sunday, which is one of the 2 days a week that I'm legally allowed to turn my sprinklers on. And so what's really nice is that I will not have to pay the city of Richardson that exorbitant amount of money for the water I used, because the water of life visited me this morning and took care of it for me. And he not only gave my lawn life and growth, but he paid it all. So amen, amen to the Lord of life. You'll notice in your bulletin the announcements are very light. We're in July, which slow down time. Should I use this one? No, let me slide over. Yeah. All right. You'll see that the announcements are quite light this morning, but there is a key one. We are looking for volunteers to do some work around the church. And there is a list available at the church office. I don't know if this can be sent online to those of you who are joining us by way of the internet, but perhaps that can be done. My best suggestion for you is not to come alone. Find a partner to come. It's so much more fun to work in partnership or in group, and obviously you get more done. The more hands there are, and I'm almost certain there's something for every ability, so don't be afraid that, oh, I can't really do much. Oh, yes, you can. So please make that a consideration. Okay, let's go ahead and dedicate this next hour of worship to our gracious God. Heavenly Father, how lovely is your dwelling place. You bless those who live here. We are praising you always. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Lord, you are a sun and a shield, bestowing favor and honor on those who you call your own. May we show our thanks and gratitude to you in an acceptable and pleasing manner. To our loved ones here in the family of faith who are troubled, give them peace. Heal those who hurt. Provide guidance to our uncertainty. May Pastor Forrest's strength be your joy as your word fills our hungry souls. Let all of your wonders be praised. Praying this in the name above all names, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Amen. Are we there? There we are. Good morning. So Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And as we were thinking about this service today, we were talking about the verse that we were asked to learn. And it came to me that a lot of times scripture is memorized and kept in our hearts through music. And there's a song called Trust in the Lord that I learned. I have no idea when I learned it. I've known it all my life. And I want to teach it to you, and I'm hoping some of you already know it. My husband didn't, but... And then we're going to go to How Firm a Foundation, because it talks about the significance of the word and what it says and how it guides us to understand the relationship of Christ and his church. And then we're going to try and transition into the idea that he's left the Holy Spirit for us to understand even more about the Word and to guide us into all truth. So if you would stand, I'm going to sing the first verse. I'm going to sing the whole thing, actually. It's just a little song of trust in the Lord. Then I'm going to ask you to sing it with me a couple of times. Then we're going to go into How Firm a Foundation.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, say the Lord. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
That's all there is to it. Why don't you try singing it with me, please?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, say the Lord.
Here we go.
Trust in the Lord with all thine
Okay, everyone, sit down. No, don't sit down. I'm sorry. Go back to your seats. Man. Alex does this way better than me. Hey, everybody, get back together. That's what he usually says. Okay, we are going to have a time of reading scripture, and Callie was a little nervous, so she wanted me to tell you all to get ready. So get ready.
Verses 1 through 7. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. This is his assuring word to us this morning.
Amen. Well done.
Let's continue in worship as we sing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest crowd and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease.
transition to There is a Redeemer.
Well, good morning. If I haven't had a chance to introduce myself, my name is Pastor Forrest, and I love what I get to do on Sunday mornings. I love to preach. Just so you know, it's going to be a rough next couple of 4 weeks, so I'm not preaching. What you're all excited about, I know, but I'm going to be bummed. So next week, my son Ashton is going to preach. The following week, can I say you're preaching? Then the following week, Cameron will be up. Then I have a friend preaching, a guy I barely knew. I shouldn't say his friend. I know of a guy who's going to preach 3 weeks. And then the fourth week is Blake. So you're going to have fun. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. I'll be directing traffic behind the scenes. But it's going to be fun. But I'm going to be like depressed the whole time. I want to preach. Hey, can you not preach? I want to preach. I love what I do. I love it. This week I've been a little bit of a contractor. Or I've been working with contractors, and you probably, as you walked in this morning, you saw some of the damage, or some there back in the sanctuary here. And I didn't really know this too much about having asbestos removed, but having asbestos removed is kind of controversial. It really is. I didn't know this, but I learned that over the past few weeks. And so whenever there is asbestos in a wall, for example, it's safe. But whenever they take down the wall or cut into the wall or something, that poison then becomes airborne, and that's dangerous. Now, what's controversial about it is that there are some people who understand the dynamics, and they understand how it works. And so they say, 100%, you have to have it professionally removed. There's some people who say that. But there's this other group of people who are like, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. And so they kind of wonder, why are you spending all that money? Why are you spending all that time removing something that's safe? Part of the problem is because some people don't understand a lot about what asbestos is. And to be fair, I didn't either. I didn't know before this last month or so. I didn't know a lot about it. I've learned a lot now, but I didn't know a lot about it then. And so, but there's these two groups. And believe it or not, one of these people was a contractor. There was a contractor who said, why are you doing that? And I was like, okay, we're not using you. But it's kind of a weird thing. So there's this understanding. People have this thing about asbestos that, like, it's the end of the world and we've got to do it right. Or other people are like, it's really not that big of a deal. It was a reminder to me about the nature of people. People tend to rely upon their own understanding. That's how people function. That's how people live. They have a tendency to rely on their own understanding about what's right and what's wrong and how you should do things. And at the same time, they conversely have this disdain for anyone who has understanding that they don't have. And I'm not being mean towards people because I'm talking about all of us. We're all that way. We all rely on our own understanding, and we don't like it when someone says something that's different than what we came up with. Okay, be honest. And then a doctor's appointment. The doctor says, do X, Y, and Z. How many of you do those things? Oh, my hand needs to go down, sorry. There we go. For the most part, a lot of people don't do what the doctor tells them to do. Lose weight, don't eat salt, blah, blah, blah. Whatever they're telling you to do, most people don't do it. A lot of people don't do it. 10 and 2. Okay, almost all of us went through some kind of training about driving. We're supposed to have our hand at 2 and at 10 when we're driving. How many are we doing this? Usually it takes about a month or two of driving on your own and people quit doing it. A little bit more to the point. A couple of weeks ago, I told y'all, bring your Bible to church with you. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand or nothing. But here's the deal. This is all of us. We have this perception in our minds that what we understand or what we think is the way things should be done, and anybody who says something different is wrong, or they're not as smart as we are. It's just our human nature. We all do it. And Solomon knew that was going to be the issue. So Solomon told his son, don't do that. Instead, depend upon genuine wisdom. And this morning, we're going to look at a very familiar proverb. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. This will be the last week that we're going to finish up this mini-series in the book of Proverbs. And Solomon is going to communicate with his son about his understanding and about what his son's reaction should be to his own understanding compared to the understanding that's generated from wisdom. And so we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. And basically what Solomon is going to say is, don't depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on that. Which is very, 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 very difficult for us to do. But what he's going to say is, instead, depend upon genuine wisdom. The wisdom that God gives us in his word. And the reason that I'm kind of a dramatic upfront is I'm really trying to rattle your cage a little bit and say, listen, I know that for the most part, even people who don't have a relationship with God think there's good stuff in here. Most people do. But what we don't think about is the fact that most of us think that what's up here is much more reliable than anything outside of us, including this. It's just the nature of people. It's how we function. So this morning, I'm gonna challenge you a little bit. I'm gonna poke you a little bit. And the point is to get you a little bit off center and to say, okay, maybe there's something in here that I should be depending upon a little bit more than I'm depending upon what's up here. And in order to do that, I'm gonna actually get some crowd participation. So you guys are gonna be trust. Okay, so whenever I point to you, you're going to say trust. Okay, practice, ready? Okay, good. That was good. You guys are going to be don't trust. And they weren't very loud, so you can be louder if you want. You guys are going to be don't trust. So whenever I point to you, say
don't trust.
Wow, that was loud. You guys are slackers. I'm just kidding. Okay, wait, your turn's coming. You'll get a chance. You guys are going to be seek. Ready?
Seek.
There we go. That was even louder. Sorry, middle group, ear toast. And you guys, not much of you over here, but do the best you can. You guys are walk. Ready?
Walk.
Very good. Okay. So you'll see where I'm going with this. We're going to have a little bit of fun this morning. I've got some extra time, so it's going to be fun. So the idea behind this is to help you to understand that my hope is and my prayer is this morning is to help you understand that, believe it or not, we depend an awful lot on our own understanding. And it's difficult for us if we don't embrace the fact that we don't trust a lot in what we see in the Bible. If we don't understand that, we won't do it. And you'll see what I'm doing. You'll see where I'm going. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is where we're going to be this morning. And this is a very familiar proverb. Last week I challenged you to memorize this, and some of you already had it committed to memory. It's a very familiar verse. And so what I'm going to challenge you to do this morning is I want you to kind of listen to it with new ears. I'm going to bring some things in. I'm going to help you see some things a little bit differently, and I think that will help you. But the first important thing is that if we're going to depend upon genuine wisdom, then we have to trust. We have to trust. Look with me at the first part of verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The first word trust there means to have a dependence upon something, to rely upon something, to have this sense of you're putting your weight on it, in a sense. And it's saying trust. Now there's two kinds of trust. When we translate this into English, there's two kinds of trust that we have. There's the ignorance trust, and there's the knowledge trust. And a lot of times what we do is we use the word trust, but it's really ignorance. What we're saying is, I trust you. What I mean is, I trust you. I'm not going to know what's going on here. I'm not going to know what you're doing, or I'm not going to know what you're saying. I just trust you. I'm ignorant of what's going on, but I trust you. There's another trust that means that I know full well what's going on, and even if it doesn't look like the right thing to do, I'm still depending upon you. And this is the trust that's being talked about here. And we often can be guilty of saying, hey, God, I trust you. And what he's calling us to in this verse is not just, hey, this blind trust. He's saying, I want you to know me And I want you to know the way that I function. And I want you to trust me with full knowledge. I want you to depend completely on me, even if some of what you see and then some of what you experience is unpleasant. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. The preposition there that's used is a proximity preposition. God is called, Solomon is telling his son to trust in the Lord, not trust in some distant deity that might pay attention to them or not. Trust in the Lord, close, with all your heart. It's an intensification. It means trust in the Lord wholeheartedly, with no reserve. Don't say, well, I trust you with this, and I trust you with this, but I don't trust you with this. No, trust in the Lord with everything, wholeheartedly, no reserve. I trust you, God. But not a God, I trust you. I trust you. You're going to figure it out. But it's a trust, knowing that because of my understanding of who you are, because my understanding of who you are and your character, I still trust you. And that's what Solomon is calling his son to do. And if we want to be people who depend upon genuine wisdom, then we have to trust. We have to trust. This past 2 weeks ago, the contractor who was responsible for remediating our asbestos, he had me sign an agreement of work. And I sent it back to him and I said, hey, you got to rewrite this. Because I have this thing with contractors. Isn't this way up north? But down here in Dallas, there are people, there are contractors, there are vendors who just take advantage of churches all the time. It's like at churches, they see churches as easy money. Not every vendor is that way, but I've ran into a whole bunch of people that just, they're like expecting that churches just don't even read contracts. And they're like, hey, well, whatever. So I don't trust, I mean, now that I've been down here for a while, I don't trust contractors, I don't trust vendors when they're trying to do business. I just don't trust them. So I looked it over, and there was a part of the contract that seemed a little open-ended in terms of how much we would have to pay. And I thought, you know, I think we probably should have a cutoff here. And so I took it back, I sent it back to him, said, and you need to rewrite this. And although in the end, I ended up trusting him more, but he was kind of like, what are you doing? We don't do stuff that way. Like, why don't you trust me? And I didn't tell him this, but I'm like, I don't trust you because I've met a bunch of other contractors that I don't trust. And you and I do that same thing. Maybe not with contractors, but we do that in a world where we don't trust people. In the world that we live in our workplaces, and when we go to the gym, when we go to the store, we just tend not to trust people. And then when we go into that, we take that understanding and we go into our relationship with God, we bring some of that baggage with us. We tend not to trust God. Because we're so used to not trusting anybody, then when we enter into a relationship with God, we're kind of like, I don't really trust you. I mean, we do, but do we really? I want to poke you a little bit here. I want you to do something with me. I want to ask you to say something out loud. All of us, not just a section, all of us to say this. I want you to say with me, when at a second, I trust God with all my heart. And I want you to say that out loud. Ready? I trust God with all my heart. Think about that for a second. How did that sound in your ears? How'd that sound? I don't know, probably not for everybody, but even as I was working at it this week, I was like, yeah, you know, I trust him a lot, but I don't know if I really trust him. It sounds a little bit off in my ears, maybe not in yours, but I think if we're honest, a lot of times we'd say, you know what, God, I don't trust you with all of my heart. And the problem is we have trouble trusting God because we don't really trust anybody else. But the reality is that if we want to get to a place where we are depending upon genuine wisdom, if we want to get to that place, then we have to trust. There we go. Good. We have to trust. We have to trust God. But then as we move a little along,
There's a don't trust coming.
What? That don't make no sense. Trust, don't trust.
Look at the last part of verse 5 with me. And it says this: do not depend on your own understanding. Do not depend on, do not lean on, don't put your weight on, don't depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on your perception. Don't depend on your experience. Don't depend on your ability to figure things out. Don't depend upon your understanding. Instead, depend upon God. But the point is that Solomon is trying to make to his son is that, listen, don't depend upon your own understanding of things. Because oftentimes our understanding can be deceptive. And if you want to get to the place where you're depending upon genuine wisdom, you have to don't trust. You have to. It was interesting as I've done business for the church here with contractors all around the Dallas area. It's a strange thing. Like, when I go into a negotiation with them, I trust me with all my heart. But none of them do. Like, they all want me to write a contract. And sometimes I'm kind of like, this doesn't make any sense. I know me. I'm trustworthy. Why don't you trust me? And some of them, if they had the opportunity, would say, I know me, why don't you trust me? Isn't that weird? How generally speaking, the only person that we generally trust is ourselves. But everybody else is not worth trusting. Well, if you flip that coin around, a whole bunch of people look at you and say, you're not worth trusting either. So let's do this. I want you to say it with me all together. I trust myself with all my heart. Ready? I trust myself with all my heart. How'd that sound? Sounds wrong, doesn't it? It's like, I can't even believe Pastor Forrest made me say that. That is clearly wrong, right? It's clearly wrong. We are not that trustworthy. We know that. But you know, the way we live our lives most of the time, we kind of act like we depend upon ourselves. Think about it. When was the last time you made a decision and you said, hey, Forrest, what did you base that decision on? What made you say that? Why did you make that decision? What was your basis for that decision? No, I just made the decision and I kept going. That's what a lot of us do. And Solomon is telling his son, listen, buddy, don't depend upon your own understanding. Or he might say it a different way. He may say, if you want to depend upon genuine wisdom, if you want to be a person that depends on genuine wisdom, then don't trust. Don't trust in your own understanding. Next verse, verse 6, starts off with this. And he says, trust, don't trust, and then seek. Verse 6 says this: seek his will in all you do. Seek his will in all you do. Now, a tricky part of the translation here, and many of the English versions will translate this as seek God's will, seek God's understanding. The word actually means to know. And so the imperative here is to know God, not to seek his will. To seek his will is accurate. But a lot of times what happens is we translate it that way, we get a little bit off course. Because if I know God, then I will know his will. If I know God's character, if I know how God thinks about things, if I know where God is going with things, if I know God and his who he is, then I will know his will. But oftentimes how we treat this, and maybe how you understood this verse to be, is we need to understand God's will as if it's something that God has written down somewhere on a piece of paper that he can just show us. But the person reading this in the original language wouldn't have understood that this was something separate. It was understand, know God. Know the character of God. Know the personality of God. Know the way that God thinks. Know the way that God interacts with things. And then you will know his will. It will be clear because you know God. So my version says, seek his will. It's actually know God in all you do, in all of the areas of your life. You and I were, it's classic. We know what the, we make the decisions, the easy ones and all that stuff. We make those, but then when we get stuck and we can't figure it out, that's when we ask God for help. And what Solomon is telling his son is, listen, seek God, know God in everything that you do. In all of the things that you do. Don't, not just the big things, not just the things that you can't handle, not the things that you can't figure out. Know God and his will in all of your ways. In all you do. Seek his will in all you do. It's interesting, the guy, a contractor that I made rewrite the contract, his name is Paul. He's a good guy, actually. I had a chance to get to know him, and I got to know him a little better, and I'm starting to trust him a little bit now. But it's interesting, as I watched him interact with his employees and with his subcontractors as he was in doing the work on the asbestos remediation, as I watched him, I learned a lot about him. And I began to trust him because I saw the way that he interacted. And not a perfect guy, but he is for sure committed to the fact that he wants the job to be done correctly. I watched him as he gave instructions to the different people. I want this done this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. And I want this done this way, this way, this way. All of it, I didn't understand, but it was being very diligent to make sure that things were done correctly. He was committed to that. That was a part of his nature. And so I went from not trusting him to sort of trusting him because I saw that he was committed to doing things correctly, doing it the right way. And in a similar way, as we know God, as we experience God in an intimate relationship, and as we're functioning in a relationship with God and we learn about who he is, as we do that and we get more and more of that, then we'll have a better understanding of who he is and how we should live. We understand that because we know him. And that's why Solomon reaches out to him and he says, seek him, know him in all you do. Flip to the back of your Bible. Look at the last page that has a number on it. So look at what your page, and what's the last page number in your Bible? I have my Bible, the last page number is 2019. What's yours? Don't say it out loud. I'm just wondering. What's the last page number in your Bible? Here's the thing. It is a high priority for him to communicate who he is to you. It's a huge priority for him to communicate who he is to me. And so he wrote me 219 pages of revelation about who he is. And he wrote you, how many ever pages are in your Bible, he wrote you that many pages of his revelation of who he is to you. Because he really wants you to seek him. He wants you to know him. And then you will understand the right way to live. And in order for us to be people who are walking according to genuine wisdom, in order for us to base our decisions and the way we live our life on genuine wisdom, we have to seek. We have to seek him. And the last part of verse 6 says, and this is an important key, in order for us to depend on genuine wisdom, we actually have to walk. We actually have to walk through that door. Look with me, the last part of verse 6. And he will show you which path to take. Seek his will in all you do, know him in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. He, being the Lord, will show you which path to take. He will reveal to you which path that you should take. And as often as we like, we have this desire that the Lord would part the clouds, and then we would hear a voice from heaven saying, "Pastor Forrest, paint that wall blue." Like we want to hear that. We want to have God communicate to us what he wants us to do in an audible voice, is something that's just a supernatural expression. But the vast majority of the time, the Lord communicates to us what he wants us to do in the revelation that he's already given us. In my case, the 219 pages that are in this Bible. In your case, he's already given you the direction that he wants to give you within the covers of your Bible. But the key for us, the trick for us, is that in order to understand the value of genuine wisdom, we actually have to walk. We have to use it. We have to be in a situation where we make a decision based upon genuine wisdom, and we walk through that decision. And so in order for us to depend upon genuine wisdom, we have to walk. So this morning, I just want to challenge, the challenge for us is to understand how do we walk in genuine wisdom. And the way that we walk in genuine wisdom is that we trust the Lord. The way that we walk in genuine wisdom is we don't trust ourselves. Exactly. And that we seek. And that we. I've been talking to you about this project that's going on, the asbestos remediation. And just so everybody knows, we handled things right. We did exactly the way we were supposed to. Cost a lot of money, but we did it the right way. So nobody in here is in danger. Everybody is safe. We'll be safe forever. Everything's good. Okay, so we handled it the right way. But I have to admit, going into this situation, I was a little bit nervous. Because I'm having this chatter going on, like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And it costs some money. And so I thought, why are we doing it? Did we make the right decision? And I think I may have actually asked you that, Charlie. I said, are we making the right decision here? Because I'm like, is this the right thing to do? And then something happened. They showed up. And all of a sudden, they started putting plastic all around there. And these workers that were going in there, they had this protective gear on from head to toe. And they actually built in the hallway there, they built a, he called it a shower. I don't think it was a water shower. I think it was, I don't know what it was, but it built a shower, a little canopy thing that the people who left the area where the asbestos was being remediated, they would go in there and I'd take off the protective gear. And then there was these air handlers. And it looked like something out of a movie. And I was just like, it was incredible the amount of work that was going into it. And then I thought, you know what? We made the right decision. Because from my understanding, I'm like, all these people are questioning why we're doing it. Maybe it wasn't really that big of a deal. And then these machines and people all showed up. And they started doing some things. And I'm like, no, we're doing this the right way. And that's really the point of this proverb. Solomon is telling his son, you've got to walk through the process. Use the wisdom. Don't use your own wisdom. Seek God and walk through it. And when you go through the process and you come to the other side, that's when you'll understand the value of genuine wisdom. If you cut the process off part of the way through, you're never going to rely on it. But if you walk all the way through and get to the end, then you'll understand why genuine wisdom is the right way to work. So that's my challenge for you this week. I'm going to challenge you this week to make one decision based upon genuine wisdom. Make one decision this week based upon a chapter and a verse. Here's what I'm saying. Over this next week, I want you to choose one decision that you need to make and commit that this is going to be the decision. Pray about the decision. Say, God, show me what I should do. And then what I want you to do is I want you to look in your Bible and I want you to find something in the Bible that gives you some direction of how you should make that decision. Be mindful of where you found that verse and make the decision. Think of a decision, pray about it, research what the Bible has to say, and make the decision. And the whole point of why I'm trying to do this is this. I'm trying to give you an experience to see what it's like to go from having a decision to make all the way through to making the decision, but making the decision upon a chapter and verse from the genuine wisdom revealed to you from God's Word. And just like me, you'll experience that when you make a decision that way, it doesn't always mean things will go perfectly. But you'll see something on the other side that you probably didn't realize you needed. And that there's confidence and there's hope when we make decisions based upon what God says is how we should live. So this week, one decision, pray about it, look for wisdom revealed in the Bible, and carry it all the way through to decision based upon that verse. I'll be anxious to hear how that worked out next week for you. If you're here this morning and you have not entered into a personal relationship with God, if you're here this morning and you have heard me talking about how I know God in a very personal, real way, and almost like he's a real person, and that's completely foreign to you right now, come up and see me after the service. I would love to talk to you about my relationship with God and how it is a very intimate and personal relationship with God, and how you can have that relationship with him as well. If you're here this morning and you do have a big decision that you need to make this week, and you just want someone to pray for you as you make that decision, there'll be people up here who would love to pray with you and help you just pray with you about this decision that you need to make. And for the rest of us, one decision this week, just try it. One decision. Pray about it. Look up something in the Bible that addresses that situation and make a decision based upon chapter and verse. At this point in the service, we want to take some time and reflect upon what the Lord has done for us through Jesus when he came down to earth, took the form of a human and allowed man to brutally kill and crucify him. If you didn't receive one of these, or if you didn't pick up one of these communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand and we will, there's some gentlemen in the back who will get one for you. This is a time when we affectionately call the Lord's table, and it's an opportunity for us to be reminded of what Christ did for us, so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. If you're here this morning and you don't have an intimate relationship with God, it's probably best for you to just let this time pass, just because what we're doing is we're remembering something that's very significant to us. We're remembering something that God has done for us. And if you don't haven't experienced that, come see me after the service. I would love to talk to you a little bit about it. But this is a time where we get to remember and reflect back at what Christ did on the cross for us. If you pull off the top section and reveal the white wafer, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can take off the foil wrapper and reveal the cup. And Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people. It's an agreement confirmed with my blood." And many of the men that were in that meeting and many of the women who were in that meeting would later that night see Christ's blood spilled. Powerful, powerful image. And Jesus was willing to do all of that because he said, "I love you and I want you to have an intimate relationship with God the Father, and I'm willing to do that. And so he said, as often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. And then he closed with, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing to the world the Lord's death.
Stand as we sing the first verse and chorus. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus.
After the service, please come up front. There'll be people to pray with you. If you want to talk about how you can have an intimate relationship with God, I would love to talk to you about that. I'm going to close our service with two verses from Ephesians chapter 3. Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.